Hi, hi, everyone. How's it going? Welcome to Atletico Spudland again. Thanks for listening to last week's short story. And, you know, people seem to like it a lot, so I'm going to continue with it. And yeah, loads of these. Tons. So yeah, I'll put it one a week, maybe more. Why not? We'll see. Time is the enemy. Nah, time's not the enemy. Time's your friend. Make time your friend. That's what you need to do, you see. Stop looking at it as if it's, I don't have enough time. You have enough time. Loads of time. God almighty. You could live to be 120 years old. That's tons of time. You know. So, what am I on about? Let's get into the story then. Yeah, you know the usual. If anyone wants to get in touch, you know where I am. I'm not on Twitter really much. I'm still have an account on it, so you can reach me. I'll get a notification, or else through the Facebook or just the email from you'll find on the website. Actually, you won't find it on the website. I stopped paying for it because I'm not arsed with the Atletico Spudland website. So what I'm going to do is I have the Comedy Cast website, and then I'm going to start a new one soon that's going to have the writings and the woodwork, and the podcast will be on it. And you won't have to do anything with changing podcast addresses or anything like that. I'll keep this one on here. So, what did you just don't care about all that nonsense? Let's just get into the short story. I hope you're all well anyway. You know, we're coming to the end of this, I hope. And, let's just keep our heads, you know. It's only a couple more weeks and we should get out of this, I hope. And then prepare for it to come back even worse in winter. No! Anyway, let's do more of these creepy, paranormal, weird aliens, angels stuff. Hopefully I'll do them once a week. Maybe more. We'll see. But thanks. I'm glad you're enjoying them. Good luck. Gene is going to die. My name is Peter Jensen. I can see things before they happen. I don't want to, and I don't like it, but I do. What are you looking at, butthead? That's my sister Jean. She's older than me, but not much. They call us Irish twins. This means we're born within a year of each other, and since Irish people apparently breed like rabbits, we're called Irish twins. As far as I know it, though, we're of Scandinavian stock, all blonde hair and blue eyes, and a ginger hair between any of us. Dad likes to drink the odd Guinness, though. Jean doesn't see things before they happen. I love her, but she's a bit of a dumbo. I know for a fact that she can't see things before they happen, because if she could, she'd probably be nicer to me than she's being right now, as she'd be able to see that she's about to die. Well, saying that, I might be wrong. I read that people like me cannot see our own deaths, and just the deaths of others. So, yeah, I could be wrong. Maybe she can see me dying, and we all die together, one happy family. I doubt it, though. Jean's going to die, and it's going to happen very soon. Jean, you're going to die, I tell her. You better not be threatening me, you little goth freak, she says. Jean is your typical popular high school girl, stereotypically so. I know she loves me, but I know too that she's ashamed of me when it comes to school. She's gotten better though since we finished school for the summer. And she thinks she'll be popular at university, especially since I won't be seeing her around cramping her style. She's going to die though. But she's been very nice to me since she finished high school. I've got one more year to go. I want to study to be a vet. But I've already seen that I'm going to end up as a military doctor thanks to some bullshit war nobody wanted. Except for the suits, of course. Jean has two friends who are always around. Victoria and Emma. They're not very nice. They look gorgeous. But they're soulless, empty girls who will both get pregnant on prom night and marry their boyfriends who will both end up becoming jarheads. They'll both get military pensions, though, when their husbands die in an airstrike in Istanbul, so at least there's that. Strange how their lives synchronize. Maybe they'll end up being lesbian life partners after their husbands die, but I can't see that far ahead. Maybe I just want them to be lesbians. Sorry. Horny teenager. At Jean's funeral, they're going to wear tight black dresses, sunglasses, have their hair done beautifully, and tears will stream down their faces. I'll never see them again after that. That's not a bad thing. They don't like me, and it's not that I don't really like them. It's just that they're such stereotypes and boring that they mean almost nothing to me. I love Jean, but really, if she wasn't my sister, I probably wouldn't. And honestly, After you die, Jean, my life gets easier. Although, Dad will blame me somewhat. Sorry, Jean, but this isn't, wasn't, and won't be your fault, or mine either. No, I tell her. I just wanted to warn you, Jean. I love you. I do. Oh my God, shut up. You're such a creepy weirdo. She punches me. This'll probably be the last time she touches me. I pretend it hurts to give her some satisfaction. In the front seat, Mom turns around and gives us a look of daggers. You know that look that parents give you when they're regretting that they had children? Most parents never admit it publicly, or even privately, but they sure as hell do think it. Mine do a lot anyway, and yours probably do too. Mine like to think about where they'd be and what they'd have become if they hadn't had kids. I'd like to have the gift to see those kind of things, the what-ifs. It does exist, but so far I don't have it. Maybe I can develop it, maybe not. You two are a bit too old now to be hitting each other, eh? She asks. Not really a question, though, is it? It's a statement, really. Adults love those condescending, passive-aggressive bullshit comments. If you try and make comments like this as a kid, you just come across as a bit of a douchebag. Ahead in the road, I see a sign that says, Rest Stop 2 Miles. And in smaller writing beneath it, Next Rest Stop 66 Miles. My dad's a fast driver. Too fast, to be honest. But at the speed he drives, it'll probably take him about 25 minutes. I need to pee, but I don't want to stop. Jean's about to meet her maker. Can't see how it happens. Only the aftermath. But I know it's going to be soon. And by stopping at a rest stop, I don't want to bring it on even faster. Who wants to stop? Dad says. Next one is 66 miles away. We'd stopped at a KFC a couple of hours ago. I don't really like their food, but I drank a huge Coke. It felt so good, because it helps with my travel sickness. I hate having travel sickness. I'm too old for this. Small kids are supposed to get it. I know I should just watch the horizon, and I do, but as soon as I stop, my head feels heavy, and I get all groggy and feel like puking. I do really need to pee, though, but I don't want to stop. Don't want Jean to die. Jean notices that I'm fidgeting around. He needs to pee. He's going to pee his pants if you don't stop. We don't want a repeat of Aunt Sally's, do we? Come on, Jean. That was, what, 13 years ago? You really need to get over that. Was seeing me pee myself so traumatic for you? Hey, come on, guys. Be nice to each other, Mom says. Yeah, she's right. But I'm trying to let my sister live longer. I need to go too, Jean says. Damn it. That seals it then. Dad pulls off the highway and we make for the rest stop. There are two lanes going in and probably two going out too, one for trucks and one for cars. The place is huge. Gas stations, some restaurants, even a playground for kids. There's a huge monument here too for some soldiers long dead in some war that wasn't needed. Maybe it'll come loose and squish Jean like a bug. That'd be horrific. I hope that doesn't happen. We all pile out of the car, the boys going to the men's restroom and the ladies to the ladies. They have those stupid self-flushing toilets. They must flush at least 3 times more than they're needed to, wasting so much water all the time. Or does that just happen to me? It's so loud in there, toilets flushing constantly and those high-powered hand dryers that make your skin move like there's something underneath trying to escape. You want some chocolate, champ? Dad asks. I don't really, but he does, so I say, yeah, sure, Dad. So we go and buy a huge packet of theatre-style Maltesers. We head outside and wait for my mom and Jean to return. Maybe Jean's been sucked into those ever-flushing toilets and she's drowned. Is that what's taking them so long? No. A moment later, they return, also with a bag of Maltesers. My family really loves Maltesers. But they'll remind Mom and Dad of Jean soon. So we won't be buying them ever again. We get back in the car and I begin to think, maybe I'm wrong. For the first time, one of my premonitions hasn't come true. Thank God, Zeus, Yahweh, whoever. Blind spaghetti monster, if you want. This is great. Jean is sitting beside me and she's alive and... No, I'm wrong. She's still going to die. Dad starts the car, and as he does, I turn to Jean and I say, I love you, Jean. I'll miss you. I say it at the moment the engine starts so Mom and Dad don't hear me. Jean does hear me, though, and for a split second I think she gets it. She knows something's going to happen. Nah, I'm wrong. She toots, shakes her head and says, oh my god, you're so weird, Butthead. But I love you too. Mom hears that and turns around. What's going on? Wanting to play the cool kid, Jean says nothing. She grabs my drawing book off the seat and starts flicking through it. Dad heads towards the exit. There's a truck ahead of us in the far lane. Oh my god, there's so many naked women in your book. You're such a perv, Jean says, laughing. Well, they're drawing practice. I'm just drawing, I say. Mom, looking at me. Mister, are you drawing naked ladies? She's teasing. I'm not in any trouble around. She knows I love drawing, and she knows I'm starting to think about girls and wanting a girlfriend. Jean laughs. Huh? One of these looks like Emma. Oh my god, do you have a crush on Emma? I'm going to text her and tell her. She's going to be so embarrassed. No, come on, give it back. None of them look like Emma. None of them are even naked. Dad gets involved now as he's speeding up to pass the truck on the inside, rather than wait and let the truck go first like a normal driver would. Emma's a nice kid, champ. You could do worse. Oh my god, Dad. Emma would never date a loser like Champ here, Jean says. With that, I make a grab for my book, but Jean throws it into the front and the book hits Dad. It's an accident, but he jerks the wheel and... time suddenly slows down. The truck driver obviously didn't expect the car to try and take him over from the wrong side, and our car hits his truck. Maltesers everywhere. Tires skidding. Glass breaking. Metal crushing. Flesh tearing, bones breaking. The vehicles come to a stop. Silence. I pass out. I come to and the paramedics are attending me and Mom. We have some cuts and bruises. Dad and Jean have been airlifted to the closest hospital. It's 21 minutes away by helicopter. Jean dies in the air from internal injuries. Dad has a broken collarbone and left leg. He'll walk with a slight limp for the rest of his life. The paramedic finds my drawing book and asks if it belongs to us. It's mine, I say. It's the reason we crashed. Don't blame yourself, she says. Your dad and sister are in great hands. They'll be fine. Maybe she believes the lie. Maybe she's convinced herself over the years. In about 15 minutes, she's going to get a call to attend a murder scene where a man has decapitated his lover. It's not the first time he's done it, and he's going to do it 5 more times until he's caught in a cabin in the Cherokee National Forest. Dad gets out for the funeral 10 days later. Our relationship is never the same. Even though I didn't throw the book, he blames me for trying to grab it off Jean. Mom, though, hugs me for longer when we hug, and she watches me for a second longer than usual when she glances. I hope Jean is at peace and in a good place. Something tells me, though, that there isn't a good place after this. Thanks for listening, everyone. I hope that brought some cheer into your life. How miserable is that story, yeah? I'll be back again this week with the lads for a Poland podcast episode, and maybe there'll be something else out for us at the end of the week. But if not, you'll hear from us all on that. All right, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.